Yesterday's windy weather wreaked havoc on power lines around Juneau. Parts of downtown and all of Douglas were without power for less than an hour yesterday afternoon after a tree fell on a power line out Thane Road. Alaska Electric Light and Power's Deb Ferreira says the utility temporarily rerouted power from other parts of the system while a crew repaired the damaged line. That outage occurred at about 12:15, and power was restored by about 1 o'clock. About 3,600 customers were affected. Short time later, about 1:40, a second outage affected parts of downtown again, as well as Salmon Creek and Lemon Creek. Ferrer says it was caused by a tree branch that hit a power line. Crews were able to restore power from that outage just after 2 o'clock. It affected about 1,400 customers. Then about 8:15 last night, a large tree fell on two power lines and a distribution line along Channel Vista Drive, putting the entire city and borough in the dark. AEL&P crews cleared the tree and power was restored in stages, with all parts of the borough back on by about 9:35 last night. According to Ferreira, the tree did not damage any equipment. Highest wind speed in the capital city area yesterday was 41 miles an hour. The highest gust was 53 miles an hour. That was recorded just before 10 o'clock yesterday morning, although there were gusts in the 30s and 40s for most of the morning and afternoon yesterday. A Coast Guard helicopter yesterday pulled a Wrangell man from his boat as it was sinking. 47-year-old Lester Koontz was rescued in Kiku Strait, just south of Conclusion Island. The Coast Guard launched an unsuccessful search for him late Monday when he was reported missing. Spokeswoman Charlie Hengen says Koontz had been traveling from Cake to Wrangell when the wind and seas kicked up. Hengen says he had filed a float plan with his family before he left Cake. She says he motored into a safe area to wait out the storm, but when the tide went out, Koontz discovered a hole had been punctured in his 22-foot bayliner. She says he reported spending a fitful night trying to dewater his boat. Hengen says Koontz had trouble communicating until yesterday morning when he left the area and was able to contact a nearby vessel that relayed a message to an Air Station Sitka Coast Guard helicopter, which was already looking for him. Hengen says the helicopter literally hoisted Koontz from his boat, called the keeper as it was sinking beneath him. Koontz was then flown to Wrangell in good condition. Alaska senators say a bipartisan passage yesterday of a slimmed down bundle of spending bills is a good step for Congress, best known for gridlock. The $182 billion appropriations bill is called a minibus because it bites off a chunk of the federal budget rather than trying to fund everything through an omnibus spending package. Among the highlights, say Alaska senators, are increases in funding for fishery stock assessments and to the Essential Air Service program. The minibus puts together three spending bills that tackle agriculture, commerce, and transportation and housing. It does make cuts to local governments, community development grants that help low-income communities, and housing for the poor, law enforcement, and scientific research also take hits. But Congress agreed in August that next fiscal year's spending bills would be smaller, and that's what this one delivers. Democratic Senator Mark Begich says $67 million for fishery stock assessments would mean better updated quota numbers. That's an increase in spending by more than $15 million.
For Alaska and for all fisheries, I mean, the stock assessments is the critical piece that determines, you know, how much we can fish, what our minimum amounts are. And if you don't do these accurate stock assessments, they have a direct impact in the amount of fish that Alaskans can catch. And usually what happens is they lower the amounts that are available because they don't have good stock assessments.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski says ensuring there's enough money to make regular and good stock assessments was a big priority. She's also touting money for complying with the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada and for the FAA in the form of Airport Improvement Program funds, with an added $10 million going to the upkeep and maintenance of the Anchorage Airport. And the minibus includes $500,000 for a newly created national clearinghouse on sexual assault of American Indian and Alaska Native women. Murkowski is also pleased at $143 million in funding for the Essential Air Service program, which only months ago was threatened with major cuts by other members of Congress. Instead, this is a $13 million boost.
This is welcome news because not only were we able to survive the direct attacks that came at Essential Air Service, but we actually see an increase over the FY11 levels for EAS funding. So this is going to be important for our Alaska airports. We've got 40 airports in the state that see the benefit of Essential Air Services, so this was an important win for us in Alaska.
The spending package passed the Senate on a vote of 69-30. Murkowski and Begich both prefer this technique of tackling a few spending bills at a time rather than trying to pass one giant spending bill.
The last thing we need as a Congress is to be dealing with a multi-thousand-page omnibus appropriation bill that members just don't know what is included in it. By breaking it down into these smaller legislative vehicles, we can spend the time debating and amending and making a better work product.
Begich says biting off a smaller group of spending bills lets senators examine them carefully and talk with one another about their individual priorities. He expects more to come in the next few weeks, but he warns that there's no time to waste.
The challenge will be we'll run out of time before the end of the year. We'll have another one, which will be introduced shortly. Then my guess is that before the year's out, we'll have the remainder in one block that will include defense funding, and that's important, obviously, for Alaska.
Just because the minibus passed the Senate yesterday does not guarantee it will become law. It has to go to conference with the House's versions of spending bills and then receive the president's approval. But Alaska senators say they hope yesterday's vote kickstarted the process of hammering out some spending agreements. Here in Juneau, the Assembly has set its top 10 goals and priorities for the next year. The list includes gaining support for a new state library, archives, and museum building in the capital city. The state recently broke ground on the $125 million project in the Willoughby District, though it's not yet fully funded. Assemblymember Karen Crane, a former state library director, says it's important to keep pushing for the so-called SLAM project, which could spark public and private investment in Juneau.
There now looks like there might be some support for it within the administration, and if it doesn't get funded within the next year or two, the project is not going to go forward.
Deputy Mayor David Stone pushed for a financial transition plan to help the city adjust to an expected decline in state and federal assistance.
I think we have a responsibility to future assemblies as well as our citizens to have a good financial plan for how we're going to weather the storm.
Perhaps the most controversial item on the list is a review of whether or not to promote development of the AJ mine. Because the mine is so divisive, Crane says it's important to decide how the matter will be resolved and when.
There is a significant number of people in the community that are very nervous about this, and I think it would be helpful if we could lay out for them in some more detail how the process is going to go. And for ourselves, what are going to be the issues that make this project either a project that moves forward or that we decide is not moving forward?
The Assembly goals list is finalized each year after the fall municipal election. This year's version was narrowed down from about 60 goals discussed at an Assembly retreat last month. And for the full top 10 list, you can go online to our new website at ktoonews.org. And yesterday on Morning Edition, we mentioned that the city manager was one of the positions that was one of the positions hired by the Assembly. Kind of a short clarification here. The city attorney is also another position, another person that isn't hired by the Assembly.